look beyond all my faults, and he saw my need. And I shall forever, and I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. He died for me. How marvelous that grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw. Sing that again, and I shall forever, Lord. And I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. He died for me. How marvelous fallen soul. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Amen. Just sing that song, Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Amen. How many just want to lift him up today? Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, worship his holy name.
Comes Lord, we worship you today, Father. You're worthy, Lord. Give you the glory, Lord. Amen. Isn't he worthy, saints? Amen. We don't have any announcements or prayer requests or testimonies other than just a reminder that we do have communion this evening. Amen. I mean, how many are looking forward to that communion with our Lord? Amen. Amen. We just ask for this time, and if you come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings. So he can be better for himself. Amen.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're just coming, Lord, before you, God, Lord, and Lord, we just worship you, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, singing the songs of Zion, God, Lord, wanting to get into the spirit, God, Lord, of Lord worship, God, Lord, and Lord, so we can welcome you in, God, Lord, to this humble little house here, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, so you can come down, Lord God, yes, and Lord, Lord, speak to us, Lord, as we be little children, Lord. You said when you were on the earth that we would become like one of these little ones, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, that's one of our goals, Lord, this morning, God, Lord, to have that childlike faith, Lord. God, Lord Jesus, Lord, to where we can speak, Lord, and things will happen, God, Lord. And Lord, there won't be any doubt there, Lord. God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, just make us just so small, Lord. And may we just be so humble, God, and Lord, courteous and reverent to you, God, Lord. And just may the fire that burns for you, God, Lord, in our heart, God, just full of love, God, Lord, just may it always dwell there, God, Lord. And Lord, may that fire just build and build and build, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we have a little prayer request, God, Lord, for Brother Romero here, God, Lord, asking, Lord, you free his son, God, Lord, and get him out, God, Lord. He can serve you better, Lord, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, just be with the tithes and offerings, Lord. Be with our brother, God, as he brings the word, Lord. Just speak to us, God, Lord, the words of life, God, Lord, the mysteries, God, Lord. Anything you'd have, God, something so simple, God, Lord. Anything that would be edifying for us, God, that, Lord, this morning we have need of, Lord Jesus. Lord, just be with us, God, Lord. Bless our pastor, God, Lord. And take care of him, God, Lord, and our song leader here, God, our deacons, trustees, God, Lord, the lady, God, the ones that all that the offices are to serve, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, the best we can, God, Lord, and be with our instruments, God, here, Lord, God, those that sacrifice there, Lord. We just love you, God, Lord. May we just come be real reverent, real humble towards you, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I trust everybody had a good time yesterday, amen, the Lord, amen, just good fellowship, and amen. Hopefully everybody's not too tired to praise God today, though. Amen. Amen. That's what we want to do first and foremost. Amen. Then let's just sing that song, By and By. We are often tossed and driven. How many can look back sometimes and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing there, but I know once we get over yonder, Lord, I'll understand it better by and by. I don't need nothing now. Amen. Amen. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber sky and howling tempest. sing that song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine. Amen. How many believe that today? Whatever you came for today, amen, every promise in that book is yours. And every promise in the Bible, amen. Amen. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, oh, every line. Well, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book. Well, every promise in the book. Oh, every chapter. to sing that song, "Let God Arise and His Enemies Be Scattered." Amen. If you let Him arise today, the devil's going to be defeated. Amen. Amen. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let faith arise. Let faith arise and His enemies be scattered. Let faith.
Just for a moment. Good to see all that we're able to make it to the house of God this morning. Amen. It's a privilege to be where God is. Amen. If you think about what you're singing, let God arise. You know what? Let God arise in Living Waters Tabernacle today. Let God arise amongst His bride. You know, let faith arise, God. Let your peace be here, God. Amen. This is where we establish that our God is real. Amen. How can you tell we serve a real God? Because of what he's done. Look what he's done in my life. Amen. Look what he's done in this church. Look what God is doing for his promise that he promised, right? The things he's done. Amen. So praise God this morning. We appreciate all they're able to make it out to the house of God. Ramiro and the family there. Amen. Levi and a few others by the grace of God. Good to see Clara here this morning. Amen. She's always such a peach. Amen. So it's okay I say word peach because I just met a man named Peachy. He's about 6'5". Ain't no jokes when you're calling a man Peachy when he's 6'5". All right? But anyway, by the grace of God, I'm setting up shop. I better not do that. I'm feeling good, though. Amen? It's good to be a Christian, saints. Amen? Hallelujah. But this morning, we do have Brother Brian Hawkins going to minister for us this morning, both services today. And we're going to enjoy communion with one another. And we're certainly going to enjoy the fellowship we get to have between services, after services. And, you know, one thing I love about the saints that God has allowed to come here, and, you know, I realize there are people who really love each other. Amen. So we thank God for just giving us that opportunity again. We know we won't have this privilege here much longer, but we want to make good with what we have while we got it, amen? So in saying that, you say, okay, I'm here to adore God, I'm here to worship God, and you know, because he is the invited guest, amen? He is the great one, right? He is the purpose why we live, the purpose why we're here, amen? So anyway, we perhaps want to just say thank you to the Hawkins family for coming, amen? Praise God, and they're such a lovely little gang, and they come all the way to support Ashley in her graduation. That's coming up pretty high on the divine level when you drive 4 hours for that. So I'm sure there's some very loving people there, and they prove that, amen. But we thank God as you know, Brother Brian's always been just a real special brother, and God has used him really tremendously here, amen. And when the brother comes up, we want to make sure that we just give God the presence and the gift that he's allowed to be here, and just remember who's speaking to you today. Your husband is speaking to you today, amen? Amen. Not a man, not a badger skin, but within that gift, the husband himself is talking to you, amen? Isn't it nice God to come out on a Sunday morning? The same morning he resurrected, amen? The first day of the week, right? So thank God he's made himself here. I don't have much voice this morning, so I probably won't sing, but we might sing one song. I don't know. Amen. There's a pretty good anointing here. I don't know if you feel that, but I felt really good up here. I look at Brother Dave sometimes way back there. You look at Brother Dave, and he's just, whoo. And you get up here, and you understand why he's going, whoo. So thank God for that. Amen. Isn't it nice to have a God we can feel? Amen. So maybe let's just sing a song if you would like to stand. We're going to invite Brother Brian up while he's singing this. If he wants to finish this, he can. If he wants to stop when he gets up here, that's fine. But let's just sing that song, I'm So Happy. Amen? You happy this morning? Praise God. Well, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy, 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 happy. I'm so happy. Well, I'm so happy.
so happy. Friend of mine.
I'd love to continue on, but I don't know the song. But you happy in the Lord this morning? I was trying to think of a song to sing when I came up here, but I'm not much of a singer. But I love to sing. If any of y'all know Brother Dale Potter, he mentions it. He sings songs, but when he sings, everybody leaves. He sings dismissal songs. I'm kind of like that, you know. But I sure do have a joy of the Lord in my heart, and we ought to have a new song, a new praise from our hearts. Amen. A daily, a new renewing every day in our hearts. Amen. No, we ought to have that joy. I like that song. That makes me feel happy. But praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Brother Jim, our pastor, sends greetings to you all, those that know him. And brothers and sisters also from the church, those that know each other, they all send greetings. Good to see you, Brother Levi. And Brother Levi is a special brother. He started out at our church there. Feel he's a fine brother. He's got a good family. They love the Lord. Been through a lot, haven't we all? You know, I was talking to Brother Cam out there in the office and just talking about how the woman that came in when Jesus was invited for the supper there, and people started thinking in their hearts, if you only knew what kind of woman this was. But he turned around and said, he that's been forgiven much loveth much. You know, so when you've been forgiven much, you appreciate the Lord so much more. You know, when you've been given so much liberty to know what you used to be, to know that you're not like that anymore, and that you have a new heart, that you are a new creature. All things have become new. You get a fresh start. How many times you get that out in the world? You're not going to get anything like that. That's the best deal there is. Wow. Amen? Amen? Let us look unto Psalms chapter 64 this evening, or this morning. Already getting ahead of myself. But I do appreciate so much the invitation that we had to come for the graduation party. And I don't take that lightly, and I guess driving 4 hours kind of shows that. But I just felt so appreciative to be invited, that they thought so much of me and my family to have us out there. That really means a lot. And I want to return the favor, not just to Brother Steve and his family, but also to the church to give my all this morning. Of course, I want to do that for the Lord, but I also have you in my mind also. And we should always do our best for the Lord. Never hold back. But Psalm 64, verse 1. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. He says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword. For those of you who don't know what whetting is, it's sharpening on a stone. It's called, that's whetting. So they're sharpening their tongue. They're getting their tongue prepared for something. Because you don't just sharpen a sword just to hang it up on the wall for a display. You sharpen a knife for a use. So these people here, they're saying, it's being said that his enemies are whetting their tongue. They're preparing their tongue against him. And bend their bows to shoot their arrows. So this is a very well-equipped enemy that he's talking about. They're not just packing little straws and pieces of paper for spit wads. This is something serious, amen? I mean, this is something with real ammunition. You don't play with a gun with real bullets. Even Hollywood, even though they've had accidents, you know, they play with pretend guns. They're blanks. But you are dealing with the real enemy. This isn't Hollywood. This is not Hollywood by any means. This is life and death. Amen. So if you recognize your enemy and recognize the seriousness of what the enemy is out trying to do to you, and not just to you, but to your loved ones. Even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Now, perfect there is an upright, someone with sincerity in what they're doing, a sincerity of living their life for God, a sincerity of loving even lost. But these are the perfect that he's talking about. Perfect doesn't mean a sinless life. It means a maturity. And like I said, it's also a sincerity. Something that's real inside of you. Something that you cannot make up. But it's something that's really there. It's that nature that's already going to come out. Like, and I think I've said it here before. The sheep doesn't have to try to sit there and think about bearing wool. It's a sheep. That's its nature. It bears wool. So if you have the Spirit of the Lord, you are going to manifest the Spirit of the Lord, even under pressure. In every situation, the Spirit of the Lord will reveal itself, or the lack of the Spirit. Whatever spirit you have, that's what's going to come out under pressure. So they may shoot in secret at the perfect. So they're getting together with one another. They got their team and they're in their huddle and they're doing this in secret because they don't want to let you know, because once you know, you're already you can already make an offense or defend yourself against it. Amen. So it's an element of surprise is what they're using, okay? Yeah. Suddenly, do they shoot at him and fear not? They don't care who it is. They don't care that you're righteous. They don't care that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They take no thought of that. I'm talking about your enemy. I'm not talking about your brother. Suddenly, do they shoot at him and fear not? They encourage themselves in an evil matter. You know, I think I mentioned it here before also that when Brother Branham would go out and heal somebody of a sickness and the demon would leave, what would happen? Do y'all remember him telling a story? They would go and look for a spirit just like it. Remember me preaching on kindred spirits? They go to another spirit to get help. Ought we not to do the same thing if we have the Spirit of Christ in us? When we get a little bit weak, go out and seek somebody that's a little bit stronger than us and you get strength. Amen. So if they're encouraging themselves in evil, how much more we ought to encourage ourselves in doing good? They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Let us look to the Lord this morning in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, giver of life, giver of every good gift, giver of mercy abundantly, giver of grace abundantly, giver of all the blessings divine abundantly to those that seek you and those that love you, oh God. Lord, we just appreciate being in the house of the Lord this morning and just spending the week and the time rubbing our shoulders with the world, Lord. We just want to take this time in sanctuary to come and hear the blessed word of the Lord and in fellowship with like precious saints. And Lord, as we take this time this morning, we just ask that you would help us this morning, Lord God. Set my thoughts aside and push yours right into mine, Lord God. Push your thoughts into my mind that I would speak only what you would want spoken this morning. Father, I want to see the people encouraged this morning. And Lord, we sure don't want to do any kind of damage to anybody. But Lord, we want to speak the truth in love. Lord God, we pray that you would be with our pastor and our saints there at home. Lord God, we just pray that they would have a blessed service also. And those that are feeble, weak among us, those that may be sick and afflicted, we pray that you would raise them up in health, Lord God. And those that may be discouraged, we pray that you would raise them up in encouragement, that they could walk out of here like we sang that song, happy, 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 oh Lord. We just thank you for your blessed kindness that you give unto us, that you shower and rain upon us, O Father, for we're not worthy, but Lord, we sure will take them gladly. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, all that you provide. And Lord God, we just ask once again that you would have preeminence in this service. Lord, we thank you for the hospitality that's been shown to us. We thank you for the friendship that we have here, Lord God. We just ask for your blessings to be upon this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Please be seated. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in the first verse. But if you notice, as reading in Psalm 64, we read about how the enemy is congregating themselves in secret to wage war against the righteous, against the perfect. So I'd like to kind of look at that a little bit this morning, speaking on infiltration by God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, you cannot look upon a man's heart. You can see the works of a man and what he does. But what he really thinks in his heart, a man can deceive you by any kind of an action. You know, he could tell you that he's a good person, but once you be around that fellow for a little while, you're going to see what's really inside of him. So we renounce the hidden things, the things that are hidden in your heart. What does renounce mean? It means that I'm not going to entertain it any longer. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to bring it out into the open. I'm going to expose the very demon that's in there. Amen. I'm not going to let that rule my life. I'm not going to let it reign in my life any longer. I'm going to renounce these things. If you look at Joan of Arc, they burned her at the stake trying to get her to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. But she held strong even to the burning of her flesh. Now I want to ask you this morning, would you go to the same extreme? Because it's going to come to that time, sooner or later, that you are going to have to die for this gospel. It is life or death, whether you believe it. You're going to show if you believe it or not, because once that pressure comes, when somebody says, if you're going to follow Christ, I'm going to kill you right here, and you say, I'm not in it for that. Or you go ahead and kill me because I know where I'm going, and may the Lord forgive you. Amen. Amen. So what kind, is that faith settled so much into your heart that you are willing to die at this moment for that? There's a story that I heard that, I might have told it here, but allow me to say it one more time, that there was a man that burst into a church one day with a shotgun. And he told everybody, all those that are not willing to die this morning for your Lord, you're free to go. So probably about half the people got up and walked out or ran out. They didn't want any part of that. They weren't ready to die for that. So after they all left, he went and he shut the door, took off the mask, and he said, go ahead, Pastor, go ahead and preach. Now that we have everybody serious here this morning. Amen. Those that really want the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, not for your own gain, but for someone else's gain. Which is more important, the sinner or the saint? Amen. If you've already got that assurance in your heart, then that sinner is more important. Amen. It's more important for your little pettiness. That sinner that would walk through the door right now, do you have more respect for a person in here that you're brothers with, that you're friends with? Would you have more respect for them, or would you entertain that person, or would you ignore that person? What would you do? You know, in judgment, it is not good to have respect of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. You ought to show the same respect for a sinner that would walk through those doors just for a brother of Christ, amen? Because you ought to want to win their soul, amen? It's not a light thing to take somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ and just set them off to the side and let them fend for themselves. Amen? Sometimes I think we get that that haughtiness and that egotistical pride in our hearts that we forget about the sinner out there. You know, well, I go to church, I'm doing okay. My life is my life is all straightened out. I'm following the right path. What about them? They need help too. Amen. Amen. Where was I? Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, living the gospel, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you are not living a life to them, you are hiding it from those that are lost. You must shine your light to those that are lost. They need the Redeemer just like you needed a Savior. They need the same Savior. Amen. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You taking the gospel in your heart, living it. Y'all, I'm going to let this out a little bit early. Love only comes on the mountaintop, right? We only love people when things are going good. I had a fellow come to me. He's been having some problems with his marriage. And I asked him. She was ready to leave. I said, so it's just like that, huh? He's like, what? I said, so you just got, I thought you said you loved your wife. He said, I do. I said, you're going to let her go away that easily? You're going to let her go without a fight? You're going to let her go without even trying to get her back? That's not the way it was in the beginning. Amen, brother. Oh, no. Adam loved his wife. He knew what God said. The day you eat thereof, you shall die. But I believe he partook with his wife, not because Adam was deceived, but because he loved his wife. Amen? So why would a man just let his wife go when he says that he loves her? No, love is enacted in the times of trouble. In the time of the storm, that's when love is applied. That's when you love people. It's not the times that are easy. It's easy to say you love somebody in the times that are going good. But once that pressure comes, once a little struggle comes, how many people just let people go? They let their loved ones. That's why I think most relationships are built on lust, because one problem that comes, they want out. But if it's really built on love, they're going to work it out as much as they can, no matter how much heartache it causes. No matter how much heartache it is, you want to work through it as much as you can. Until everything is exhausted. Everything. I'm glad God doesn't give up on us so easily. Amen. You know, we got our problems. And then, you know, if we could look at, now I'm preaching to myself right here. Y'all can join in too. But if we look at ourselves, the way that we treat our loved ones is probably the way you're treating God. Amen? You say you love God, you say you love your family, but you'd rather go fishing instead of spending a few minutes with them. Or you'd rather go spend some time with some buddies that you see at work every day. Oh, we're going here for the weekend. What about your little ones? What about your loved one? You know? Lord, I don't want to get in prayer today. I got this and this to go do. You know? You see what I'm saying there? You see the relation? Right. What you do to your loved one is probably what you're doing to the Lord. And Lord, help me. Amen. I'm not going to say something like that to you without accepting it also. Amen. Right. What kind of person would I be? But Matthew 13, verse 18 and 19. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Did y'all catch that? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, not just any kingdom, this is the blessed word of God, and understandeth it not, they're weighing things. I'm not sure what it's saying. I'm not sure how to live it. I'm not quite sure how to interpret this. That's when the wicked one comes, in the unsure times. And then he catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. He steals it. He comes and he takes that precious thing from him. Do y'all know what infiltration is? I didn't read the definition. Infiltration, militarily speaking, is a, which I, you could type military and a Christian walk a lot. And, for you are a soldier of Christ. Amen. But a method of attack in which small bodies of soldiers or individual soldiers penetrate the enemy's line at weak or unguarded points in order to assemble behind the enemy position and attack it from the rear, harass enemy rear area installations, etc. A system of transporting troops or vehicles at extended and irregular intervals so as to avoid enemy observation or attack, especially from the air. But as we read the definition there, at weak or unguarded points in order to get in. Your areas of weakness is where the enemy is going to attack you. But be careful that you be not consumed with just that one weak area, lest everything else becomes weak or unguarded. Yes, you must have that. You must strengthen. If there's a hole in a boat, you must strengthen that spot or you will sink. If there's a hole in your walk, you must patch that hole. You must patch that weakness. But you don't put everything there at that weak spot. Because the enemy with being, if an enemy's coming on the side, that's called flanking you. The side of you is a flank. So that's what they're doing, is they're trying to avoid any detection. So they're trying to get to the sides, usually way out, because they want to avoid the detection. So what they're doing is they're going to the weak areas, which is usually the rear, because you put your strongest ones up front. Amen. You put your strongest offensive up front. Amen. And you put your reinforcements in the back. So what they're trying to do is come in and take out the weak ones. And it also becomes a divide and conquer, if you've ever heard of that strategy. It is a strategy. That's what the enemy uses. That's what they used in World War II. It's what they used in World War I. It was a divide and conquer, because they take these small groups and they attack these other groups, the smaller ones, they eliminate them. And if you eliminate many little ones, you take out a big portion. Same with demons, okay? You see the parallel? You start letting something in, you know, sin will come in, and we know how sin will work. It comes in as an infancy. It starts out something small. Brother, you didn't grow up, or you weren't born at the age you are now. You grew up a little baby, and then you have to be nursed. You have to grow. You have to become mature. You have to grow strength. Amen? The same thing with sin. Anything that is born has to start small, and anything that you feed is going to grow. And when it grows bigger and bigger and bigger until you do something about it. You know, I'm just going to preach this morning. I'm not going to worry about any kind of order. Is that all right? As far as things to say. You know, it's not going to be an obvious thing that the enemy is going to come in here. He's not going to bring in a tank, okay? That's pretty obvious when you bring a tank and say he's going to bust the walls down in the church. That's pretty obvious. No, they want to come in. They want to come undetected. They want to bring in some hidden things. They want you to hide those things, something that you think you want to entertain that. They want you to entertain those things and hide them in your heart. But once that thing gets into your heart, it's going to grow because you start feeding that thing. It's going to grow more and more. It's going to be more like a gas. You know, y'all know what carbon monoxide is? Carbon monoxide is known as a silent killer. Why? Because it's odorless. It's tasteless. You can't see it. But it sure does do a lot of harm. And once a little bit comes in, it's going to start overtaking you. And more and more and more until you recognize that something is there. Right. And you eliminate that source. Right. Or it's going to continue to live in you. It's going to continue to break you down and it will kill you eventually unless you eliminate that source. And you can only dispel carbon monoxide by a ventilation. You've got to bring in fresh air to dispel carbon monoxide. You've got to bring in fresh word. You've got to bring in fresh meat to dispel the enemy that's coming in. And you know, it'll come in like a flood. Isn't that the scripture? The enemy will come in like a flood, seeking to devour whom he may. Amen? Coming in like a lion. Praise the Lord. So we've got to be careful what we entertain. That's what this age is. It's an entertainment age. You look at kids, they've got to be entertained with something. You know, there are some kids, they're not satisfied with the little toys that they got. You know, they can't be satisfied with just a few toys. Some other little kid comes over, they got some better toys because it's something new. So they want to play with those toys. They're not satisfied with that. And then they want more. They want more. It gets so bad with the video games that the kids don't even want to get outside and play. They get no exercise. They're not exercising themselves. You don't get out and testify, so you're not exercising your discernment. Amen? You'd rather sit at home and do something else, sit on the couch. I don't know. No offense, brother. You see what I'm saying? The more you let something in, the more it's going to overtake you. And it's those sneaky little things that come in. That's why we have to have our discernment exercised. To be able to recognize that little sin baby and just smash it when it comes in. Don't be afraid to destroy the Amalekites, amen? Take those Amalekites out. Jude 1, 4. How many is looking for chapter 2? Jude 1. Sorry, just trying to lighten. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are men crept in unawares and they want to be like you. They want to be a part of the club, which is only for a moment to get what they want. These little things just infiltrating into the church. We let our bars down a little too much, I think, because you would say, oh, we got to love these people. Well, you're right, but you don't have to let the sin come in and have an influence on the whole body. Amen? You instruct them in the right way. You don't conform. That's what they did in the past. Is they conform to the sun god. Oh, we're going to ease these people a little bit. We're going to accept them a little bit. You can accept them, but you don't have to accept their ways. You don't have to accept their wickedness. Amen? You can still live righteous. And show them, because when you hide it from those that are lost. You show them the truth, no matter how much it hurts. If they're seed, they're going to stay. If not, then they were not part of you. Amen? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Now, I wouldn't want to claim this as myself. But and I'm not just talking this church, but anywhere that you would go. They can creep in unaware so much that you wouldn't recognize that they've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm sure there have been, how sure, I don't know. I just presume on this. I'm venturing out with authority because I don't have statistics, okay? Is that okay? But we have to be careful because there are probably, is that okay to say, brother? They probably have had ministers preaching the word to you, and they do a fantastic job. But if we were to look into some of these ministers' lives, like I said, don't have the Holy Spirit. And I pray that this that it's not me. You know, I believe I do have the Holy Spirit by God's grace. And those that really don't have your... what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have your interests. They don't have your soul in their interests. You know, they might be out there, as it says, turn it into lasciviousness. They might be doing it just for the money, which I don't think that should be any kind of a minister's goal. Amen. I don't do this for the money. I don't. And I don't think any minister should, because that should not be the driving force behind you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. That is my goal. That is my directive. That is my motive. I want you to become a better, stronger Christian. I want you to face the adversary with everything that you have and defeat him. I want you to overcome. That's the desire that I have in my heart. I want you to be strengthened. I'm sure your pastor has the same interest for you. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's where my probability came in. Because we know that Satan and his ministers can turn themselves into what appears to be ministers of light, angels of light. They could talk a flowery speech. You know, they are smarter than the righteous. I know I'm pretty dumb. Sometimes I'm not real intelligent. I'm not trying to put myself down, but I do some dumb things. We all do, right? But we walk wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. This is our wisdom right here. We don't need the wisdom of the world. We need some wisdom of the world to get around into this world, right? We need some wisdom of our job to perform our jobs, you know, because you don't want to hurt yourself or someone else, you know. So you want to learn to be safe, you know. Those are the kind of things that you know. But man is always trying to make something. They're so wise in themselves. They're so smart that they devise these devices, which Brother Branham talked about. They've done it from years gone back to destroy another man. They create these devices to destroy something else. That's where it's not the wisdom of God. Galatians 2 and 4. Now, I'm not preaching just to church here. I'm preaching this to your personal life. Amen. So, amen. Don't just think that this only applies within these church walls. No, this applies in your life, in your home walls, in your work walls. It applies to every aspect of your life. Amen. So, if you're thinking of I just better leave that alone. Galatians 2, 4. It says, and that because of false brethren, unawares, there's that unawares again, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, to check things out, to see what makes you free. It's not because they want a part of it, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage. They don't like to see you free. They don't like to see you worshiping in liberty. They don't like to see you running and jumping and shouting and rejoicing, because misery loves company and they want you in their same misery. Or else, why else would they want you in bondage? Where we want them out of bondage. But they're trying to put you in bondage. Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. So I'm reading this because I don't want you to go out there and look at people thinking that they're infiltrating you to tear you apart. Okay? There's a positive. There's a negative side and a positive side to everything. Okay? But it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You have entertained good people without even realizing it. And it ends up being a reward for you in the end. But you didn't do it selfishly. You're doing something for somebody because you want to see them bettered. But you will receive a reward after. But that's not your motive, amen? Well, your reward is to see them bettered. That's the reward that you're seeking, right? You see somebody hurt, you want to patch them up. You want to give them a reward of patching them up. And some people, that's a reward to help people. That's their reward because they enjoy doing it. They like to do it. You know, the Bible ought not to be a grievous thing to us. It's a blessing to us. You know, the commandments ought not to be a hard thing. You ought to want to do it. That desire. I'm so glad that God has given me a desire to want to come to the house of God. It's not because I have to. Well, it's Sunday. It's a duty. We got to go do our duty. We'll go until noon, listen to the long-winded preacher just yelling and spitting and just getting it, digging into our lives, which he has no business being in. I don't know your business. I'm just preaching. But it's not just performing a duty. You love to be in the house of God. Amen? I love to be there. And it's a privilege for you to be there. It's a privilege to utter the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from your lips. And how much people do it in vain. How many times you hear the Lord's name in vain when you're at work? I hear it constantly. It grieves my spirit. It causes vexation. If you only knew what you're doing. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 13.
Amen.
I've hardly gotten started. I'm just going to try and give you my best. Is that all right?
Amen.
You wouldn't expect anything less, would you? Matthew 13:24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Excuse me. But while men slept, sleeping means you're idle, right? You're putting your body in rest. You're idle. So be careful that you're not sleeping on the Lord. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So no matter what you feed, it's going to grow. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? I thought you did these good things. Where did this evil come from? But whenever you do good, evil is present, is it not?
Right.
He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Amen.
So you entertain angels, entertain strangers, which are angels unawares.
Right.
Don't worry about what kind of angel they are. He'll separate it in the end. He will do the separation. What business have we got to do separation? You separate yourself from evil, yes. But to say so-and-so they don't have the Holy Spirit, and you start judging, and you become a judge then, you're starting to separate. You're wanting to pull out little splinters when you got a log. You know, Jesus, the disciples one time wanted to stop a group of men that were casting out devils. Hey, they're casting out devils over there in your name. But they're not among, they're not part of our group. They're part of that group down the road. We don't associate with them. But we see them doing the works of God. They ought not to do the works of God because they're not part of us. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful how you separate people. Because Jesus himself said, if they're not against us, they're for us. They're out trying to further the kingdom of God just as much as you are. And if you can get yourselves in unity, how much more you would get accomplished? Instead of fighting it. I'm not saying that y'all are doing that here. I'm not saying that. I guess that's just something that I say afterwards. I don't know. But it seems to follow well. You know what I mean? Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Each one of us has five senses, unless there was a mutation, you know, at birth or something like that, or an accident, you know, somebody might cut off, somebody might damage their hearing or something. That's why it's good to wear earplugs. you want to try to save your hearing, you know, but each one of us has a normal person, okay, would have five senses. Sight, hearing, feel, taste. What's the other one? Smelling. Sure love to smell a good fresh apple pie, don't you? How do you know it's apple pie? Unless you've known what it was before. If you've experienced something, you know when you come across it again. You touch something that's hot, you know, buddy, that's hot. Amen. You don't want to touch that if you know it's either hot or it's probably hot. It was hot the last time. So you're going to approach it carefully the next time, aren't you? You jump into a briar bush, you're going to wish that you never did. When you see a briar bush coming, you're going to know, I remember that feel. I'm not going to jump into that briar bush again. Amen. You smell that fresh baked apple pie? Oh, I love that smell of fresh baked apple pie. So you ever smell that when there's no apple pie around? Y'all ever have that? I smell apple pie. You're in the middle of the desert. Ain't nobody cooking an apple pie out here. But you can remember the scents. Amen. You can remember the scent. Amen. Same as it is when somebody's hurt. They remember when somebody hurts them. They're going to approach it a whole lot more carefully. They're going to approach the situation with caution. Yes, you can forgive people. But you're going to approach things a little bit more carefully. A certain situation might happen that you've come across it before. It's an experience. So then your discernment is built up to that. Amen? So you could start seeing how situations are going to be led. How many times you get into a conversation with people, worldly people, and then wouldn't you know it, like 2 to 5 minutes into the conversation, it becomes perverted? You listen to the people that I work with, you give it 5 minutes time, some kind of sexual content or innuendo is going to come up. Something perverted is going to come up. So when you have these experiences, you could tend to head it off. Because your discernment is built up. You remember what has taken place. You remember what led up to that. You remember something maybe you said led up to that. Wise as serpents. You could head that off. You know, a lot of times you can control that conversation. You control your atmosphere. But if you want to allow that perversion to come in, you just keep going without defending it. You just keep going without trying to divert that. You know, a lot of our problems are caused because of your own lust. Because you want to do something. You want to satisfy this flesh. You want to satisfy something in your hearing. You want to satisfy something in your sight. You want to satisfy something with your feeling. Or you want to taste something. You know, somebody that's addicted to drugs or whatever. I know they, back when I was younger, they had these sheets that were laced with acid that you put in your eyelids. You can get a trip off of that. Some have pills. You know, or they might like the taste of it. I used to love cigarettes. I used to love smoking. It's hard to break it's hard to break an addiction. It is. But we build our own problems off of our own lust, trying to pleasure one of your five senses. You're trying to pleasure something. But we live not according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, that way is death. Amen? But if you reap to the Spirit, the things that are spiritual, it is life everlasting. So when you give in to the pleasures of the flesh, that's your weak area. Amen. You have just allowed the enemy to come in, and you have given something place over God. You've allowed the enemy to attack that weak spot. Everybody knows what the city of refuge is, right? If Brother Fred are out in the field and something happened, a rock got kicked up or something, and I didn't realize he was behind me, and I threw a rock behind me and it clunked him in the head and it killed him. I didn't do it maliciously. I didn't do it on purpose. I was able to go to the city of refuge because I was innocent. But the way that it used to be, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So he was able to go to the city of refuge, and he had to stay there in the city of refuge. He couldn't come out and just, oh, I'm out of the city of refuge. I'm going to enjoy this for a little while, because the Avenger of Blood could be right there, right around the corner and take him out because he stepped out of the city of refuge. Now, is not God our fortress? Is he not our city of refuge? So we don't go out and say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I'm out, devil. You know, I'm out to play around because he's going to take you. Pride cometh before destruction. Don't sit there and play with the devil. Don't even try to rub things in on them. Nanny, nanny. Because you get prideful. You got pride right there. You're already saying, I'm better than you. Which that's his nature. For did he not say that I'm going to exalt myself above God? Remember kindred spirits? Be careful what you think. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's going to show what's in your heart. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having any readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. We often want to have, we get that vengeful spirit within us. Well, they did such and such to us, I'm going to get them back. You revenge the disobedience by being obedient. Amen. You revenge this situation by refraining yourself. Amen. How easy it is to indulge in that moment of anger. Remember, I preached self-control here, didn't I? But if you have that self-control, mightier man is he that has control over his own spirit than a man that would take any city. If you can control the inner man, you're strong. That's a strong person. If you can control temperance, or if you can control your temper, if you have temperance, which is self-control, if you have that, you can hold this man down. You're very well disciplined. You're not going to give in to the things of the world. When you see something on TV that you like, you're not giving in to that moment of weakness. Because that suffering under that temptation is only for a moment. But it has long-lasting effects. Is that 2 minutes of falling into temptation, that small moment, worth days and months and years of grief? You got to weigh it. If every action has a reaction, every action has a consequence, whether it be a good consequence or a bad consequence. If you sit there and think before you do it, if I do this, something bad is going to happen. Well, I don't want to do that. But if I do this, something more than likely is going to be good come out of this. Yeah? So you don't be hasty. Don't be hasty in anything. I think that's even in Proverbs. Don't be hasty. Don't make a hasty decision. But weigh your decisions. If you're going to buy a house, don't say, well, I like that house. I'm going to buy that house. Yep. Right. You don't even have the funds. Right. You know, and then you put yourself so far into debt. Right. Because you want to give in to these moments of pleasures. Well, I got to have that PlayStation. Right. I got to have this game. Well, you know, I got to have this worldly pleasure out here. No, and you can't afford it, and then you put yourself in debt. I'm not here to preach on debt this morning. I'm here to preach on infiltration, but you see what I'm saying. Amen. You know, the consequences can be severe. You got $5 in your account, and you go buy something for $500, and you don't have a job. How are you going to pay for it? You know, you got to be responsible with yourself. You know, you got to weigh your options of what you're going to do. Each step that you take, you got to figure out try to assume the consequence. Right. Proverbs 26 and 27. But this kind of ties in with what we were reading in Psalm 64 at the start. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. In Proverbs 28 and 10, it says, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. So just what they're trying to do in secret to the perfect, don't you worry, it's going to come back on. Don't you worry. And I like this story. I like to use Haman in this story. I like to use Haman in this situation because he despised righteous Mordecai. He despised the man of God. He was wetting his tongue. He was wetting his tongue against Mordecai. He was preparing. And you know, that little bugger is an infiltrator like you wouldn't believe, because he was trying to weasel his way into there, into the king and queen, right? Which he eventually did. We know it. He became like the top man under the king. But he despised Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't give in to the pleasure. Haman wanted him to bow down to him. You know, that's how the children of Israel fell almost every time. Even Balaam couldn't. That's the way he had to get them to turn on God, is by idolatry. And he tricked them into doing it. So Haman was trying to get Mordecai in his righteousness. He was setting him up. Because he didn't bow to him, he didn't give it to that pleasure. Now you think of demons while I'm telling this story, of what demons do to you. You know, of what they're trying to do. They're trying to sneak in, and they start getting upset when you don't give in. When you don't divulge into that moment of pleasure, they're starting to get upset. They're trying to get other things in on you. So Haman, we know he built the gallows for Mordecai, because he was just fed up with Mordecai. He couldn't take it anymore. And somebody in his family influenced it. Hey, why don't you build the gallows for good old Mordecai if you don't like him so much? But things came out into the open. It wasn't hidden anymore. It became manifest. And it exposed the situation. So Haman, trying to set up this trick for Mordecai, it ended up coming on his own head. And not just his own, but his whole family. So God is there, and he means what he says. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. Oh my. I don't know how long I'm going, but I'll try to close up here. Schofield has a note in here. Well, let's turn to Matthew 7. I can't believe what time it is. What time did we start? 11? What time did I get out of here? Y'all ain't helping me. I see. Conspiracy going on here. A good one. A good one. See. Verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. They're more concerned about what they have done. But like we were talking yesterday, brother, they cannot subject themselves under the word of God. They are not obedient unto the word. If you were sisters, if you were children of Sarah, Abraham's wife, for those that don't know. Sorry, I'm joking too much. I'm sorry. I apologize. But if you are children of Sarah, how much she subjected herself to Abraham, how much she respected Abraham, that she even called him Lord. But she had a right to call him Lord. But what Jesus is saying here, you don't have a right to call me Lord, because you don't do the things that I say. Amen? But what I want to get to is devils. There's a little note that Schofield has in here, and I find it wonderful. And it fits right in. It's something I looked up last night, and I didn't even know what it meant. But, oh, man, it just opened something up last night. Wow. But when he's talking about, and in thy name have cast out devils, he has a note down here, devils, literally demons. To the reality and personality of demons, The New Testament scriptures bear abundant testimony. So it's not just one thing, two things here, but it's of abundant testimony of demons in the New Testament. As to their origin, nothing is clearly revealed, but they are not to be confounded with the angels mentioned in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. Demons are spirits, are Satan's emissaries. I gotta find that. Emissary is an agent sent on a mission to represent or advance the interests of another. An agent sent on a secret mission. A spy. I didn't look that up before. I looked that up last night. Oh, glory to God. Ain't that just like the devils? Little secret agents out there trying to infiltrate into your mind, into your heart, into your body. Oh, my. And so numerous, follow along here, and so numerous as to make Satan's power practically ubiquitous. Y'all know what ubiquitous is? Ubiquitous, in a nutshell, omnipresent. Isn't that something? Satan has so many agents out there that it looks like he is omnipresent. There is only one omnipresent. Oh my. You see the bluff right there that he has to use so many to make it look like one. But we've got one that looks like so many. Oh my. Woo. They are capable of entering and controlling both men and beasts. For we know by the swine. Amen? And earnestly, not just lackadaisically, and earnestly seek embodiment. So they are really looking for something. They are really looking for a vessel to use. That's what he's saying. Earnestly seeking embodiment. See what you're fighting off all the time? Don't give in to them. Stay strong. Don't give in to them. Earnestly seek embodiment, without which, apparently, they are powerless for evil. Oh, my. Demon influence and demon possession are discriminated in the New Testament. Instances, I'll skip that part. Here you go. They are unclean, sullen, violent, and malicious. Here's a kicker. They know. I said they know. The Lord Jesus Christ as Most High God. And recognize His supreme authority. Did they not recognize Jesus when He came up? What have we to do with thee, thou son of David? Even the demons recognize God's supreme authority. And how dare we as men and women not give Him the fear, give Him the reverence and respect that He deserves. Even wickedness recognizes His supreme authority. So does that help you to be more appreciative of your Lord? When the demons that you fight every single day have more appreciation for God than what we do a lot of times? Makes you think about what you think about your Lord, huh? Is He not a king? Is He not rightly a king? Are we not to treat Him like a king? Is He not Lord? Are we not to treat Him as our Lord? Then why do we treat Him like our next door neighbor that we don't even want to talk to Him sometimes because we didn't get our way? Oh my. You get start giving God the silent treatment. Huh. I know I've done it. I've had that experience. That's what gives me the authority to say so. Amen? In case if anybody was wondering on that. Who are you to say that? I've been there. Trying to help you out. They know their eternal fate to be one of torment, which we know there's a lake of fire prepared for them, right? They inflict physical maladies. What are maladies? I didn't know either. I had to look it up. A disease or a disorder. So they inflict physical disease and disorder. But mental disease is to be distinguished from the disorder of mind due to demoniacal control. Demon influence may manifest itself in religious asceticism and formalism, degenerating into uncleanness. The sign of demon influence in religion is departing from the faith. I.e., the body of revealed truth in Scripture. The demons maintain especially a conflict with believers who would be spiritual. Y'all have battles with these demons? That's showing yourself spiritual. All unbelievers are open to demon possession. The believer's resources are prayer and bodily control, the whole armor of God, exorcism in the name of Jesus Christ was practiced for demon possession. One of the awful features of the apocalyptic judgments in which this age will end in an eruption of demons out of the abyss, which is in Revelation 9. Oh my. But at the end time, there's going to be an eruption. There's going to be so many that it looks like even Satan is omnipresent. So that's why I said at the beginning, don't take it lightly. You are fighting a worthy adversary, not something to take lightly. This is not... How many grew up watching Rambo? Commando? This ain't what it is, friends. Not one of us is Rambo, or we're not Arnold Schwarzenegger. We cannot take on a whole army by ourselves. You're not going to do it. I heard somebody say something about Peachy, 6'5 fella. Even he's not going to do it. I don't care how big you are. If you're big in muscles, that shows, well, you may be weak in faith. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It profits some, but it profits little. Because you need to run a race. We're running a spiritual race. You've got to have strength. You've got to have endurance to run this race. It says, to him that overcomes, will I give the crown? Will I give a place to sit? To him that overcomes. That's enduring to the end. Not giving up so easily. You know, it mentions in here the whole armor of God. Notice in Ephesians 6, when it's talking about the whole armor of God, everything is on the front. Does it say anything about armor on the back? No. Why? Because there's no retreat. Right. You've got to keep pressing forward. Amen. Oh, my. Amen. One of y'all might have to help me out with that. For some reason, I can't remember the scripture. David caught it when I preached on this down in South Carolina. He caught the verse that I was going to. Submit yourselves unto God. For some reason, I can't remember it. I know it any other time, but now that I need to pull it out of my quiver, I can't. It's stuck in my quiver. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Who's the one doing the fleeing?
Amen.
It's not the one with the armor of God. It's the devil who's doing the fleeing. You resist him, resist all the temptation. By what? Submitting yourselves unto God. That's a prerequisite right there. You got to have that first part before you have the latter part. You don't submit yourself unto God, sorry for you. You're not gonna be able to resist the devil too well. You're going to be an advocate is what you are. I don't even know where I am. That's all right. Oh. Y'all know what buffet is? When you're buffeted? That's just one smack to the chops and that's it, right? No. Being buffeted is when you have a wave after wave after wave of pressure coming on you. When you have an adversary buffeting you, he's constantly on the attack on you. It's a constant. And what happens when you get buffeted so much? You get weak. You get weak. You can't take it anymore. You can't take it. That's, like I said earlier, love comes in the time of the storms. The enemy will attack at the time of weakness. A lot of times when pressure comes, that's where your weakness is.
Right.
When temptation comes and it's attacking your weak area, whether it be pornography, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be fornication, whether it be adultery, I don't know. But when those things are constantly buffeting your spirit and you're protecting that, and you're consumed with protecting that one area, other things tend to get weak. Your prayer life, your Bible reading, your fellowship with the saints. When somebody starts dropping off from fellowship, something's wrong. There's something in their lives that they're struggling with, and they just haven't come. They just haven't said anything. And from the nods and the amens, somebody's had experience with that. Because a saint ought not to drop off so abruptly and just all of a sudden not have fellowship. Something's wrong. They either fell and they're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They don't want to confide in anybody because they may have had an experience where they've confided in somebody and then it just gossip, you know, and it just spreads. You know, people do things for a reason. People have a defense up for a reason. Because, like I said, with the senses, something has happened before. I didn't like church. I didn't want to go to church because I grew up in church and I saw things in church and I did not like church. So I had that defense already. When my wife started going to church, you go on ahead. I'm not interested. You know, nothing but a bunch of quacks and hypocrites there at church anyways. That's the way I used to, that was my defense. But some of you know what I mean. Some of you have been hurt when you were younger in a church. But when I found that there was a real, my defense was let down because it's something that I could trust. Trust is a, if it's okay to say this, is a sacred thing. Once trust is broken, it's hard to be won back. It's very hard to be won back. I'm just going to close. If y'all stand to your feet. We're getting back to Rambo and Commando and all that stuff. We know that Moses was a one-man invasion. But it wasn't by himself, per se. Yes, he had the gift, but he was surrounded by support. You look at Joshua. Oh, my. You look at Caleb. Oh, two strong men of valor that testified that we can continue on, that we can go ahead and overtake that land. We can go ahead and get this promise. They were in for the long haul. They were in. They were committed. They were committed to pastor, church, God. Not necessarily in that order. They were devoted to God. They were committed to God. So they were devoted to God's servant. For God uses man. You know, there's a difference there when Korah and Dathan came to Moses and said, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. What? He's already given you, you want the priesthood too? No, you just want everything. That's what happens with the enemy, is they want everything. That's what happens with somebody in pride. They want everything. He that loves silver is not satisfied with silver. They just want more. They want more. They're not satisfied. They need to get something else. They're so greedy. Same thing with hell and destruction is never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. The pleasures is what it's talking about. They want more pleasure. They want more of this. They want more of that. They can't be satisfied because they don't have God. They don't have it settled in their heart. It's not that firm foundation. It's that time of unsurety that we read about the sower, the parable of the sower, when the wicked one came and stole it away. But there's a difference between Korah and Dathan when they said, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. And when Jethro came, his father-in-law, and he saw what Moses was doing, he was judging everybody. He says, Moses, you take too much on yourself. You're going to kill yourself. You're killing yourself. You know, why don't you get some able men, some devoted men to God, and let them help you. Let them take care of the smaller matters, and you take care of the bigger matters. You see the difference of motive between Korah and Dathan and Jethro. They both said the same thing. Two different objectives. One wanted to see the furtherance. One wanted everything to themselves. Amen. Y'all love me? Love you. Thank you for having us here. I'd like to turn back to Psalm 64 if I could and just finish this up. Amen. Praise God. I think I ended in the sixth verse. So let's continue with the seventh verse. It says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly shall they be wounded. This is going back. This is finishing up to show that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. So if you've confessed your faults one to another, if you have no more condemnation in your heart, how much happy you could be, how glad you could be to know that God has taken the enemy away from you. Amen. He has already overcome the world. So by his overcoming, we are also overcomers. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I'm going to do something I've never done before. So y'all are supportive, right? Y'all are like Jethro, right? Help a brother out. I'd like to sing this song. I absolutely love this song. Some of you might know it, so if you know it, please help me out. If you've heard me sing, you'll know that I need help. Y'all ever hear the victory chant? No? One person has? It says, I'll sing a line, and then y'all repeat the line. Okay?
We'll start off with the first verse, see how that goes. But, I don't know how it's going to work out. We'll just try it. Y'all okay with that?
Yeah.
Hey, look at that.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
I will obey your word.
Want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You take us into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
Hail, Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You will take us into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
Hail, Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You will take us into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of
Judah. How wonderful you are.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You will take us into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Let us look to the Lord one more time in prayer as we close this service. If anybody needs prayer this morning, if the word has struck your heart, it has shown you something in your life, we'd be happy to pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for opening our eyes to your word this morning, opening our eyes to the tactics of the devil. Lord, that we can see the works of the enemy when he comes in like a flood. Lord, that we could dam up so he can't come in like a flood. That we could stop that flood from coming in. That we could protect the weak areas. But be not consumed with just those weak areas, lest everything else would be set aside and no concern with it. Lord, we know how the enemy will come in. We know how, just in the past of wars, understanding the history of how an enemy, they want to come in and they take the communication. They take supply trucks out. So we know the same with demons. They want to come and take communication between you and us. They want to take that time away from us. They want to take the supply trucks away from us. They want to take the word of God from us. But Lord God, help us to stand. Sure, help us to stand fast in this time of deception, this age of deception, this age of so many demons coming after us, trying to pull us away from the love of God, trying to pull us away from fellowship of saints when we need that to be strengthened, oh God. Lord, we can only call upon you. You are the captain of the host. Lord, we call upon you. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. Lord, be with us that we wouldn't let the bars down and let goats in. Oh, Jesus, help us to hold those standards high and to keep those standards and to have no compromise with any things of the world. Lord, when we come under the pressure, may we stand fast and sure and true to the Word of God. Lord, even if it means life or death, whether it means a bullet or anything else that would come upon us, Lord God, we want to stand for you to show that you are true. We want to manifest light. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to fight the enemy. We can't do it on our own. We need strength. We know iron sharpeneth iron. We need one another. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, we need one another to be sharpened and strengthened. Oh, my. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to give you praise. We want to hail you, for you are our King. We want to sing. Because of your life, we are able to sing. We are able to have liberty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this time of ministering. I had a good time in the Word. I had a good time fellowshipping and ministering. But Lord, it's not all about that. It's whether we got to the hearts of somebody or not. Lord, we want to make a change in somebody's life. Lord, maybe somebody's struggling with discontent, with discouragement, whatever it may be, Lord God. Maybe somebody has a habit that they can't get rid of. Lord, may this be the day that they can get rid of that habit. Bring it to the altar. Lord, you said bring the gift to the altar and not to take it up again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We believe your word is true. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'd kind of like to leave you with this thought. We had a testimony service here a little bit ago, and this was my testimony, something that I was struggling with. And I don't mind telling you, I was struggling with things, because the Lord, He delivers us out of them all. Everybody's got struggles. But you know how some people say, it's so hard. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's hard to live that life. There's so many things. There's so many do's and don'ts. Those do's and don'ts are there for your benefit. It's to protect you. But once you start thinking
that this way is so hard, I can't live it. Just know that the Scripture says, the way of a transgressor is hard.
Right.
Did not Jesus say, take my yoke upon you? For my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. So if we take Him at His word, if we have that right to call Him Lord, Lord, it ought not to be a hard thing. Because once you look at that Scripture where it says, the way of a transgressor is hard. And make me look at my life. Why is it so hard for me to live? Because of the pleasures of the flesh. You want to give in to those. That's what you're struggling with. It's being buffeted by these demons. That's what's making you feel like that. It's not the Lord's way that's so hard. It's fighting off the enemy. So don't think that the Lord has made a hard way for you. He hasn't. What a switch. What a trade. When He took our place, what did we give Him? Dirt. Sin. Unfaithfulness. Maybe adultery for some. The King of Kings came down and gave you Him. He took your place. He gave you the easy way. Oh, my. Lord bless you. Brother Cam, come and close for us this morning. Pray something was said to help you.
Chowder. By the grace of God, when you're looking at infiltration, you're looking at something very serious. And you know, as the brother shared the scriptures, and like I said, it's profound how many times, you know, somebody can look at that scripture and just say, okay, that's talking about something bad or someone bad or the devil being bad. But when you look at the nature of the word, the word itself, it doesn't stop right there, but it proclaims that it's unawares. And to me, infiltration is such a complex thing because it's something that you don't see. Amen? But by the grace of God, we know that it's something that destroys us. And as we see, it, like the scripture says, ends up becoming a snare to you. It has you captured. It has you destroyed. It has you took down. And how many times has the devil, I mean, it's his constant aim. It's his constant desire to pull you away from your first love. Amen? So I appreciate what God said. Like I said, I got stuff going through my head right now. I feel like I could take another round right now. But by the grace of God, we want to be as sober and as sincere as we can with what we've received by the word of God, because we want to make sure that when God spoke to us this morning, you know what? It wasn't future home, but you know what? It's what we need. Amen? And what we need to do is cut out the devil in all the ways that he would infiltrate our lives. Amen? Praise God, and that's what was so wonderful about the scripture in Hebrews 5, where it talked about, you know, and it says, strong meat belongs to those who by reason of exercise can discern both good and evil. Amen? We have to discern what is good, what is bad. And by the grace of God, you know what? You look at what you gave God today in service. Was that good or was that bad? Are you satisfied with what you gave God today? Amen. Thank God we got a second service. Praise God. But when we look at the picture of all of it, God, there's so many weaknesses that we have. Laodicea has had, it's got a hand in us. Amen. It destroys our families. It destroys the church. It destroys every avenue in which we allow it to infiltrate. Oh, God. You see, I don't want to be infiltrated, but I want to stand with what? The shield of faith. God, everything the devil brings at me, I want to counter that with faith. Satan only brings unbelief. If you bring faith, it will dispel the infiltration. I mean, you realize that. It will dispel the weaknesses and the things that are fighting in your life right now. I lost a few battles lately. I said, and the other day, I got in a situation again. And something raised up in me. I said, oh, sorry, devil. No victory today. And I walked off. I didn't even think about it. And then when he was preaching, I was thinking about it. I said, well, glory to God. Because, you know, we focus so much on what the devil's already done instead of looking of what God does. When the brother was talking about when the enemy comes in like a flood, what does it say? But the Spirit of the Lord raises the standard. Amen. So what I need is not my personal vindication to show how great a Christian I am. What I need is the strength of God to come enable me to be able to stand. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, I say, God, I thank you, Lord. Because, you know, how many would be able to say, and I want you just to be as honest as you can, you know, we like to be the type of people by tradition, you know, would you bow your heads, and if you raise your hand, da-da-da. But how many would say that the devil, you know what, he has infiltrated me in some places, and I'm not satisfied with what he's done to me. I mean, I guess I'll be an honest person because there's places I'm not satisfied with. I mean, can I honestly look and say this is the bride's revival? This is ready for a rapture? And I look at my own life and I say, my God, I've got to come higher, Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I understand that. It's not that we deal a lot of times with the big things, but it's just those little foxes that spoil the vine. Say, God, I want to get rid of the little. Sometimes foxes look good stuffed in poach. Stuffed them sitting against the wall or something. What do we do with the devil? Let's just knock him right out. Amen? Let's just sing that song. Brother Dave, if you'd like to maybe come forward, maybe sing a song or so. But we're going to sing that song. If it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today. Amen? And if it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today. Hallelujah. Oh, if it wasn't for the mercy of the good Lord, I wouldn't be here today. He had not died on
would you sing that song, Welcome Holy Spirit, we are in your presence, amen. How many are glad to be in his presence today, amen? Welcome Holy Spirit, oh we are in your presence, just fill us with your power and live inside of me. Welcome Holy Spirit, welcome Holy Spirit, hallelujah Lord.
worthy, worthy is the Lamb, amen. Amen. Isn't he worthy today? How many are just glad for the word of God, what it's done today, amen. Amen. And worthy, worthy.